cliffcentral.com.
Okay, a little old school. I love this song. Very cute. You know what? I love these little these songs that kind of fall through the cracks, and then when you rediscover them, you go, oh, wow, I used to listen to that.
Who is this?
It's the Gin Blossoms. Okay. They should make a, some kind of comeback, like gin has made a huge cut. Have you noticed how many of these gin bars there are all over the place?
Like, gin bar?
Gin. In Cape Town, now all over Joburg, they're sprouting up like weeds. You can't walk down any major street in Cape Town without bumping into a gin bar. Have you not seen them?
Mm-mm. Well, I mean, I don't go to Cape Town.
Oh, yeah.
That a will, lot.
Mm. Well, I mean, they're all over Joburg, too.
Oh, are they?
Mm-hmm. It's a big thing.
Oh.
Everybody's into these gin bars.
Oh, that's good.
If you say so. All right. Let's take a look at some of the stuff that's going on in the news. The news. I said the news.
You stupid bastard.
All right. There's no need to be rude.
Yeah, really.
Go for it, Mubs. What do you got?
Okay. Well, let's begin with some medical marijuana news.
Ooh.
Because medical marijuana has been given the green light now in South Africa.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
Government has taken its first official steps in legalizing the manufacture of marijuana for medicinal use. No, you've got to stress that, Sia, because
yeah,
people get excited.
The point clear.
This is according to a report by the Mercury yesterday, and it follows a letter which was sent by the Medical Control Council to IFP MP Narendra Singh.
Yes.
Which indicated that it would publish its proposed guidelines on cannabis production for medicinal use within the coming months.
Yes.
This is after the IFP did a whole presentation to the council earlier this month about, you know, why medical marijuana is not the worst thing in the world.
When did the IFP become the party of weed?
I don't know.
That's cool.
Everybody, look, Gareth, if you are in politics, you must assume a struggle, you know. So for the EFF, it's about poor people. For the ANC, it's about... Well, I don't know what the ASC's modus operandi is these days. For the DA, it's about corruption. The IFP chose weed.
Uh-huh.
You must pick a struggle.
Right.
Now, according to Narendra Singh, he says that this is a major breakthrough and it is fantastic news for freedom of choice. Everybody loves to talk about freedom of choice these days, right?
Yes.
Big, big deal.
I don't know why we don't legalize this stuff, not just for medicinal use, but for recreational use. You know how many people would benefit from this? Look at this. We just got an email from someone here. Gab says, sounds like, Gareth, you're the perfect candidate for medical marijuana for insomnia.
Oh.
And Gab says, and we just got the green light. So, you know, again, people who listen to us are smarter and faster than we are, even.
The green light.
And you know, these days you don't have to smoke cannabis because, you know, there are still those arguments about how, oh, well, it's not bad for your lungs.
Yeah, well, you can do the oil.
You can do the oil.
Butter. There's lots of different ways you could do it.
Butter.
There's, dacha butter.
Where do you buy that?
I don't know. I've never bought any, but imagine that it's available. I've heard people, I know, I've got friends who do. They use the dacha butter. I don't know if you put it on a slice of toast or how exactly you take it, but, you know, why the hell not? I think this is so childish that we haven't allowed people to smoke weed. I've never met people who are more placid and easy to get along with than people who smoke weed. What's the big deal?
I just think marijuana probably isn't being sold enough because our money-hungry, thieving politicians maybe don't quite just get how much money they can get from this.
Yeah.
But do we want to let them in?
Listen.
What's the only way to get it started?
A lot of these people who are on welfare that we were talking about earlier, these 16 million people in South Africa who they've got some land because they live in like rural parts of the Eastern Cape or KZN, very fertile parts of this country. Some of the best farmland in South Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could grow a little patch of weed. They could make some money.
But what about the children, Gareth?
What about the children? It's not like children are running around with big fat joints.
No, but you know, as soon as you open up some things to be legalized in the country, parents get nervous because they'll say, ah, but then that definitely means my child will get hooked on it.
Yeah, exactly. Then they'll say, ah, it's a gateway to human trafficking.
Let me tell you something now. I'm very pro parents being the ones to decide everything, right? And the reason for that is that you decided to have the kid, so you have the responsibility of raising the kid, and I'm in no position to tell you what to do. I will never tell a parent how to raise their children. But if your child gets addicted to something, that is not because of advertising or the law or their friends or their school or because you do or you don't have money or you do or didn't buy them enough toys. This has got everything to do with you not teaching them anything when they were little. And the only person that is to blame, the only people that could be blamed for kids making bad decisions are parents who didn't give them the education they needed when they were very little and didn't help them along with the questions that they were asking. You didn't take enough trouble as a parent. You are not allowed to blame someone who wants to smoke a joint. Is that somewhere in the Eastern Cape? You can't blame them for your bad parenting. Sorry. Your children. Don't bring your children into this. It's like I have to put up a fence around my pool for your children. Please, keep them out of my garden.
But the children are our future, in the famous words of Whitney Houston.
There we go.
And
you probably made them, you made the beast of two backs. You were more interested in having sex that night than making a child, but look what happened. So don't now pretend that you care so much that I must change my life or Mabali must change hers or, I don't know, some regular pot smoker somewhere has to change their lives just to accommodate your kid. We didn't help make it.
Look, I suppose part of the reason it's still a contentious topic is because there is no decided on black and white thing with marijuana. On the one side, you do have, you know, that scientific community that believes and tells the rest of you, hurry, the stuff is really bad for your brain. It just is. And then on the other side, you have people saying false. That is not true. I suppose this is why it's difficult, is because we can't actually decide whether this stuff is good or bad for you.
You remember the Dacha couple came in here?
Yes.
They're not stupid. They don't seem to me to be atrophied in the brain.
No.
Now, imagine the worst case scenario. Let's say this stuff makes you dumb.
Which is one of the arguments, it slows down.
There are a lot of people I know who aren't on weed who are already much dumber than they need to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, and are they dangerous? Are weed smoking people dangerous?
Well, I mean, are alcoholics dangerous?
Alcoholics are because they try to drive cars.
Yeah.
Pot smokers?
They're probably dangerous if they're air traffic controllers.
Then they're dangerous, but otherwise
then
not.
Don't employ them for that. That's a simple fix.
Most of the people that I think of when I think of weed smokers, they can't even get off the sofa.
They just sit and eat.
Yeah.
And eat.
And laugh.
And eat.
And laugh.
Oh, yeah. Stop that.
Not a problem.
Are you?
So the use of, access to, and subsequently the guidelines of this medical marijuana will apparently be up for public comment in the coming weeks. So it sounds like we'll all get to have our say in some way or another.
Look at us, democratic South Africa.
Yeah.
I think that's what it means.
Huh.
We can't have the hate speech bill and legalize medical marijuana. One is going forward, the other one's going backward. We need to can the hate speech bill and legalize marijuana. Who on earth would be against those two provisions? Huh? Come on.
Oh, what's that?
Mystery Mayor on Twitter, Gareth, says the IFP is the party of choice because Ambrosini was the one who introduced the bill in Parliament. And remember, he died from cancer, I think.
He died, yeah.
Yeah. Mario, I think. Mario
Ambrosini. Yeah,
yeah. That's how the IFP, they've basically kept on with the fight that he started, it sounds like.
Right. We need ways to cull the population that we have. Maybe weed will slow down reproduction, says someone.
So many pros.
Zandi says the IFP have always been huge advocates of weed. Remember when Ambrosini died?
Yeah.
So lots of people catching on to that. By the way, if you legalized weed completely, we would solve a budget deficit. Regards, Gabby. Thank you, Gabby. So good. And of course, banks are going to be happy because of the ridiculous charges. That's about the banks not having to pay huge fines. Citibank was fined in the news earlier.
70 million.
Yeah. And then someone says here, Gareth, you should try meditation to get to sleep. I used to think the idea of meditation was some hippie concept. When I start battling to sleep, I tried it and it worked. There are significant specific medications for sleep. Check out the meditation podcast on Apple Podcasts. Cheers, Gareth. That's another Gareth. Okay. All right. Nice. I'm going to take this advice. I'll try anything at this point. Sean says, I want to invest in hashtag invest. How do I do it? Easy, Sean. What you need to do is go along to cliffcentral.com, go to the Money Shot page. All the instructions are there. And if for any reason you are confused or you're not sure what to do, just email invest@cartesian.co.za. That's Anthea's email address, and she will help you figure it all out. It's very, very simple. But you know what? You've already missed out on a big rally.
Yesterday.
You should have done this 3 months ago. That's all I'm saying. When we started. Get it while it's hot.
Well, folks, happy 93rd birthday to the oldest president in Africa and the world. The only leader Zimbabweans have ever known, spending 37 years at the helm since independence from Britain and the end of white minority rule in Rhodesia back in April of 1980. President Robert Mugabe turns 93 rather this year. And so how does the First Lady celebrate in the midst of everything that Zimbabwe is going through?
I know.
Okay.
Private jet to Europe for shopping.
Nearly there, but that's just another day in her life, isn't it, Ben?
Okay. Come on.
She shocks the entire nation by basically saying that Mugabe will still rule even if he's dead.
Listen to this.
As if Zimbabweans haven't suffered enough, guys.
Listen to this quickly.
Why is that? I'm still there. Why do you want to say this?
He says, do you want me to floor you with a punch so that you can feel I'm still there? He's speaking in Shona.
He says, I'm still there. Why do you want to say this?
I'll take you out, he says. That was in an interview. He actually said, I'm still there. I'm not dead. And I will prove it to you by punching you in the face if you ever say that again. What a guy.
Fair enough.
Oh, huh? My goodness. At a rally last week, First Lady Grace Mugabe said, if Mugabe dies, we will field his corpse as a candidate for elections to prove that people love him. And this is not the first time that Grace has alluded to this. Last year in May, she told tens of thousands of people gathered at a march in support of Mugabe that he will remain their leader even when he's in the grave, she says, because he's irreplaceable.
You're right. I mean, he's been so great. That country is such a wonderful place to live. That's why everybody who can get out is leaving in their droves.
Yay, guys, 93 years old, still in office.
Let me tell you something. If your country is is a magnet for people, then you know it's a good country. Things are working there. If your country is repelling people, if people are leaving because they can't wait to get out of it, you know you're a disaster. That's all. You don't need... Forget about the World Bank or the IMF or the UN or any of these organizations. They're all going to throw in politics and the economy and society, and they're going to mix them all up. But in the end, none of them seem to be able to pinpoint exactly what it is. If your country has net immigration, people coming in, you're probably a good country. It works. Things are happening there. If you are net emigration country, you're a fuck up. That's how it works. Good Lord, someone has got who is that? Show me who coughed like that. Palissa, who coughed like that? Point to the person who coughed in that room next door.
I can't
It came through. You are not coming in here if you cough like that. I'm not going to get sick.
We had some coughs here,
It sounded like your balls were jumping up and down when you coughed.
An earthquake and a rumble.
My jaw moved.
You will notice I am remaining very quiet here because I'm in no position to judge after
Did you hear that cough?
After the week and a half that I've been through.
What a cough. Huh?
Oh my goodness. I'm pretty certain there's a lung on the floor right now.
That's horrendous. Okay, so we were talking about Bob Mugabe. Happy 93rd, Bob.
Yeah.
You've made a great contribution to humankind. You've deserved your time at the top because you really didn't give people a choice. And sometimes the world is just about one guy making everybody else do what he wants them to do. And that's what you've done. And if anyone wants to criticize you, let them try and take over Zimbabwe. And if they can't, then they're just hot air.
Well, it's actually quite surprising because I'm actually seeing people who took the time and the effort to show their support to the president of Zimbabwe.
Of course.
By writing these posts stating how great he is, by giving Zimbabweans the likes of, you know, donations and shoes and soap and cooking oil.
Let's hear some of those thoughts. Let's hear one or two.
You know, that's what they really absolutely value. And they also say that President Mugabe, you know, just has this charisma that no one else has truly shown. So there's no viable opposition. You know, there was an Emmerson Mnangagwa a while ago, but he could not pull the crowds.
No.
And, you know, Grace, they're looking at the First Lady, Grace Mugabe as a possible successor. So, you know, they are just so indebted and so appreciative of the president.
Well, when someone asked Robert Mugabe, who is the next president, he said this.
That's right.
Do the work, baby, do the work.
Right? If you want it, you gotta earn it. You gotta earn it. There it is. Say it, Bob.
If you want it, you gotta earn it.
All right. He's not going anywhere. 93 years old. Let me ask you this. If you hate Robert Mugabe, a lot of people hate him. What do you think you'll be like at 93?
Ooh, will I be around?
Dead.
Will you be able to run a country at 93 and have people in your country so scared of you that they don't dare to talk about your successor?
Well, I think anyone can be a dick at 93 because that's what he is. He's not running a country. Ben, he's just being a violent dick.
He's alive.
Yeah, but he's not running a country.
You won't be alive at 93.
No.
I don't want to be.
It's highly unlikely.
You know what I'll look like at 93? I will look like everything I don't want to look like.
But hasn't the president taken very good care of himself? I mean, as far as I can remember, he doesn't even eat red meat, for example.
No, he's very healthy.
No, I'll be dead.
No, because if you really look at the situation, he has a full head of hair. Uh-huh. It's still all black. Well, of course, that has to be dye.
Well, that's dye, but I mean, hell, the guy's he's doing a good job of looking young.
And looks extra shiny.
I remember when I saw pictures of him with Madiba, and Madiba was in his 80s. Bob Mugabe was in his 70s. Bob Mugabe looked like 20 years younger than him, not just 10. So, you know what? Good for him. He's discovered the fountain of youth. The fountain of youth is somewhere in Zimbabwe, and he's drinking from it every day. And don't be jealous, because you're not looking as good as Bob Mugabe.
I'm so scared.
All right. What else have we got?
Can we talk about things that, you know, you could incorporate into your daily life to help make your life a little bit better? Useful things, in other words.
Sure.
You know those those silica packets?
Mm.
It's those small white packets that you sometimes find in your medicine bottle.
Yes,
you know, when you pop it open, you find that white small packet.
Yes.
They are meant to... They're meant to dry things out. They're called desiccating agents.
Yes. Made from silica gel, which was in existence as early as the 1640s. It was used back in World War I for the absorption of vapors and gases, right?
Ooh.
So it's got absorptive properties, as you say, Gareth. And so there are apparently a number of different uses where you can incorporate the use of these packets. Because a lot of the time... I don't know what you end up doing with your silica packets. Sometimes you find them, you know, packed in with brand new shoes. Like when you buy shoes in your boxes, you'll also find those packets in there. I mentioned you can find them in medicine bottles.
Okay.
What do you usually do with yours? Because mine just goes straight into the bin.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah. Are you meant to keep them?
Well, you're not meant to keep them, but apparently you could use them for a number of different things.
Oh.
There is a YouTube channel that has listed up to 10 different uses for these silica packets.
Yeah.
One of them being that if your phone goes for a quick drink, then you should remove the battery, the SIM card, and the SD card, if applicable, and submerge the device in a bowl of these packets. Mm-hmm. I know people have tried it with rice, and sometimes it doesn't work, but apparently you can try with the silica gel packets, and it will absorb all the water out of the critical parts of your phone. And then if you're sick of your razor constantly becoming rusty, you know, if you're not using one of those electrical razors.
Yeah, you can use that there.
Well, you can chuck it into a bag with small gel packets and they'll work their magic to stop the metal from oxidizing and then
Very
it doesn't
good.
Rust.
Okay, oh. So this we mustn't throw this stuff away. You should keep
no,
it.
No, apparently not.
You should stockpile that stuff.
The gel sachets can also protect old photos from being damaged by moisture. I mean, this is for people like Sia who still have actual photo albums.
That's right.
You can drop a few of the packets into a Ziploc bag along with the photos to ensure that they don't succumb to damage.
Okay. Well, that's useful to know. See, who knew we'd be getting DIY tips from you this morning?
Well, you know.
Can you actually get these anywhere?
Like, buy them?
Yeah.
You got to collect them from other people.
Yeah. Or just not throw them away every time you get them.
Here is a message from Zandi, who messaged us earlier. She said, I'm a surveyor. I've done lots of engineering surveys in the Transkei mountain areas. There's lots of weed fields in the mountains up there. I just worked and pretended as if there was nothing, nothing imaging, distributing weed from Transkei. You'll be raking in the cash. Okay, so what Zandi's saying is that basically there are stories of students who had their varsities paid by weed profits. Legalizing it will emancipate the Transkei economy. Zandi.
Oh.
Good point. Lesser of two evils, Bob or Grace? If you had to choose.
Ish.
Bob or Grace?
You see, I'd rather say Bob because you have a few more years to deal with him. Grace is only 51 years old.
She's got a long time to go.
See?
Godzilla says, such short-sighted people. I was taking Schedule 6 tablets due to stress and not sleeping. Terrible side effects. Now 2 drops of cannabis oil and nothing more. No side effects. I recommend it, Godzilla.
A friend of mine's dad also, cancer resurfaced quite late on, and cannabis oil.
Yeah, the stuff I'm telling you the benefits here.
That's all he's going for.
What do you exactly do with the cannabis oil? Do you ingest it?
It's some kind of ingestion process. But yeah, you get a couple of drops a day.
I don't know. I don't know how to take this stuff in, but you know what? I'd be willing to try. Anushka says, hey guys, I caught Sia on Vuzu over the weekend on a show called Preacher's Kids. Well done, Sia. I was so inspired about how open-minded your family are. Please look after your dad. Tilly is a great, great, great granddad. You are blessed.
He's not 93 like Mugabe yet, so he can look after himself.
Lynn says, I love the rain on a morning like this, but it takes 40 minutes for me just to get out of Lone Hill.
Yeah, I've been looking at pictures that people have been sharing on Twitter of what the roads look like.
Terrible, right?
Yeah, chock-a-block, can't move.
All righty, let's get to these guys from Big Box. I'm very, very curious to hear what they have to say, because it's an amazing new idea, and I love people who are adding value to the economy and creating opportunities for other people. So let's speak to these two guys. They're coming in next. It is 7:30, cliffcentral.com. And as if we haven't had enough of Sia singing this morning, here's some more. But this is the other Sia.
Oh, phew. I'm so nervous. As well.
We don't want to spoil people. From one Sia to another, you decide which one is a better singer. Don't get hurt, can't feel anything. When will I learn? I push it down. Yes, I'm just holding on for tonight. Oh, I'm just holding on for tonight. On for tonight. On for tonight. Yeah, Sia and Chandelier. Very nice. She has a hell of a voice, and she's written some amazing songs. Nothing not to like about Sia, right?
Absolutely not.
Devin Skulelis and Justin LaRue, two of them was coughing their lungs out there just now. I'm going to find out who in a second.
I'm a bit scared.
Yeah, me too. These guys are both from Durban, and they've got... I have a friend who was also part of setting this whole thing up. You guys know Murray Clark, right? Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. Yeah, Murray, how important is Murray in all of this?
Yeah, Murray's integral into everything. Murray heads up our property development right. side of everything.
Smart bastard, that.
Yeah, he's an incredibly inspiring guy.
Well, you could tell him from me he's useless because I haven't seen him for a long time. And I used to see him every time I went to Durban. Okay, guys, this is really just we like to find people who've got great ideas and particularly people who are adding value to this very, very stagnant economy.
Yep.
People who are allowing young entrepreneurs across the country to do amazing things. There are so many clever people. Clever, streetwise, super smart traders who just have great ideas. They've got nowhere to make them happen. There are people who want to operate little companies that do services, that provide products, that do all kinds of amazing stuff. They often struggle to find a place to operate from.
No, absolutely.
It sounds like such an obvious thing. But, you know, if you want to take up space in a shopping mall, that can be really expensive.
That's it. Absolutely.
Because the shopping mall has to pay for itself before you can, you know, start to operate your business properly. And a lot of that money goes into paying the rent.
Correct. And that's exactly what Big Box was developed off of the need to provide inspiring spaces and creating a retail and entrepreneurial revolution on the ground.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. We sort of went into these areas initially building the shopping centers out of brick and mortar and shipping containers. But when we actually went in, we noticed the ability, the talent, you know, like you said, the guys out there with these businesses that just lacked opportunity,
right.
You know, to grow and to, you know, get into a platform that actually inspires them to do better.
So explain to me how it works. You started off with shipping containers.
Correct.
And you would refurbish them so they looked nice because, I mean, shipping containers looks like a shipping container.
Exactly.
I see them using them all over the place. Is there just some kind of surplus of shipping containers?
I think it's becoming a sort of in thing at the moment. People are trying to
recyclable. I see them on the side of the highway, yeah. People using them for billboards.
That's it. It's refurbished. It's speaking to, you know, reusing containers
Good.
Instead of wasting them. So there's a lot of positivity around that. What we're trying to do is use them in a sustainable and long-term format, not okay. just a short-term sort of put one business in there, see how it goes.
So you take these shipping containers, you make them work better, you make them look better, you make them long-term sustainable, and then you say to people, go on, use it.
That's
absolutely.
It.
I mean, if you look at what we do, there's the property element of it where we go into these areas and we build these shopping centers.
You just did one in Tembisa now, right?
We're doing our next one in Tembisa.
Yeah, we just broke ground in Tembisa.
Nice.
Should be ready around September. You know, we go into these areas, we build these shopping centers, and then we kind of look at our four pillars, you know, where we find, fund, educate, and mentor entrepreneurs around our centers. You know, it's actually been incredibly inspiring to see what talent is there and just the impact that, you know, someone who shows interest in them, you know, makes.
Give me an example of some of the businesses that you've helped house in these big boxes.
So in our first big boxes set in Kwamashu in KZN,
mm-hmm.
and it grew very, very organically from Murray finding a piece of land and me and him discussing, thinking, what are we going to do with this piece
What's
of land?
What's with that cough, by the way?
I know, it just doesn't want to leave me.
Oh my God.
I was sick 3 weeks ago.
Can you sit at that microphone on the outside?
I'm not contagious, don't worry. I just sound horrible. I sound like a lion. Almost like that painting I saw outside there, Gareth. Is you on those lines?
Where I'm riding
the lines. Yeah. What's up with that?
That's a whole nother discussion.
put it in your big box.
All right, maybe we can put some medicinal marijuana in one of our boxes.
You'd probably find a huge market for it.
Yeah,
it's coming.
Okay.
It's coming.
So
yeah.
The first one in Kwamashu. So what kind
first
of businesses?
Grew very organically. Now we've got everything. So we follow core retail principles. We'll always have an anchor tenant. There's a lot of these box parks popping up around, and that's something that we notice. You've got to have an anchor tenant to drive foot traffic for the smaller businesses. So it's a core principle of ours.
Where it helps to have retail experience.
Correct.
Absolutely.
The likes of Murray, who's been, you know, long-term property developer.
Yeah.
I come from a strong retail and franchising background, and the amalgamation of all of our strengths has really seen the growth of these businesses. So we've got everything from hairdressers. We've got amazing businesses, Swanky's Hair Salon, that traded on the side of the road for 10 years and now has two containers with amazing design. We've helped him with things like logo, setting up business management skills. He's got a full trading business now from trading under a gazebo on the side of the road 6 months ago.
Yeah, and he's actually looking at getting a second one so he can start a hair academy so he can teach people how to cut hair for a few of the other swanky stores.
This is fantastic. All right, yeah. So hair salon, what else?
We've got hair salon. We've got a gym. We've got a brand called Fitbox that we're busy rolling out into every big box. We've got Inc. Foods upstairs. We've got a bar. We've got everything that you can think of that you would find in a normal shopping center within Big Box.
And it looks very funky and cool. It's very modern. It's not like trashy and rubbish. And a lot of these brick and mortar shopping centers, they deteriorate.
They just get left.
Yeah, and they look terrible, and the toilets are a disaster, and no one wants to go to them, and they're just horrible. Yeah, they're dark.
We want Big Box to be the light bulb of every community we walk into. So it's not just, here we go, good luck, guys. Here's a physical property. We'll see you later.
How do you make your money?
It's a long-term endeavor. So we have it's a general property model. And then there's also the Big Box Life program that we have developed off of the back of the property structure.
Yeah,
where we've seen the guys need real, real backing in their business. So we've developed the Life project now where we go in, we've linked up with the likes of Varsity College. We're giving guys on the ground the ability to get private tertiary education that they would never ever have before.
Do you take a stake in their businesses?
Eventually, long term, we look at it. So the whole process works as we go in, we find young entrepreneurs in these areas when we know Big Box Tembisa is coming, so we'll start taping applications now for businesses.
I must introduce you to some people.
We'll start focusing on finding the right entrepreneurs. We then put them through a educational platform through Varsity College, which these guys would never ever have the opportunity to do, and they get so excited going through it, teaching them basic business management skills as well as entrepreneurial development program. From there, if they pass that, we fund them into their business and we assist them in getting their business looking amazing, from a street side vendor to a fully fledged business.
Yeah, what I like about this though is it's not charity. Everybody needs to win.
That's absolutely. It's a hybrid.
And I think, look, it's probably a good point to bring in the fact that, if you look at Big Box Co., we've got the property company, which is the company that builds the centers, and it's based on normal retail principles and, property making yield of rental income, et cetera. And then the second leg is sort of the Big Box Life Project, which is our NGO, which is the one that actually finds funds, educates and mentors these guys into our company, which is the properties,
The other interesting thing about this, what I love about it, is that you are not going into affluent areas where they need some cool gentrified nonsense happening.
No.
You're going into townships where there isn't necessarily as much of there isn't as much commercial property available.
Yeah, no.
And there is a huge market. And there are lots of people who are hungry to start their own businesses.
And that's where the real creative talent is in our country.
I can promise you that. The townships are where all the interesting stuff is happening.
No, absolutely. I mean, we've been absolutely blown away about some of the stuff that we've seen on the ground. Some of these guys in these townships that have a lot more sense than you think, that have a lot more brand knowledge than you anticipate. And it's absolutely been phenomenal working with these guys and trying to grow them and just giving a bit of a download of skills so we can, unearth maybe the next, big retail giants and stuff.
Called Richard Maponya,
it's absolutely been fantastic.
And we've got some amazing success stories. We've got some really good corporations that have started backing us at the moment. Like I said, Varsity College on board, Gibbs Institute, the Bertha Center for Entrepreneurial Development. We've got the World Bank coming on behind us. So we've got some really, really exciting things. And the long-term goal of creating this entrepreneurial revolution that South Africa isn't really seeing. We're seeing a lot of people, providing jobs, and we're trying to link that sort of, there's the government that says we need more job creation, but how do we do it? Then there's private sector saying,
Don't know how to create jobs. Come on.
Exactly. So what we're saying is we'll do this. We are doing it. Let's create an entrepreneurial revolution. Let's create sustainable.
Right. We're messing around here. My buddy's got an idea. She's wanted to open up her own pimp palace for a long, long time.
Good.
And I wonder if this isn't the perfect vehicle for that, Mubs.
A pimp palace. What's a pimp palace?
Can you pitch your idea to us?
Yeah.
Oh,
you got a 30-second elevator pitch.
Go on.
You really put me on the spot after I had kind of technically abandoned the idea for a while for fear of being disowned by my parents.
But she doesn't care anymore.
No, but I mean,
it's over it now.
It would basically be offering services from men and women to relax other people physically.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sure there's a few ministers that might enjoy that.
There are definitely a lot of
support
ministers.
Support with a bit of government funding to get the startup going.
Yeah,
sounds great. And also, we're looking at we want to put 50 big boxes up in the next 5 years. But not only in South Africa, you could have 50 pimp palaces. Sure. We're chatting to guys in London and Liverpool and Detroit. You could all of a sudden have this international lady/gentleman pimp palace empire.
Okay, well then
it's footprint and a half.
I will go back to the drawing board because
you don't even have to. We fund, educate, and mentor. You know what I mean? So we'll sit with you. We'll come up with a brand strategy and everything.
All right.
Yeah, might even help with some funding. My girlfriend's listening, so I probably can't sample the services. But we can have a look
But this is
there would be no pressure put on anybody who doesn't want to sample the
and
services.
And guys, and Mubs, you know, it is the oldest proven commercial model in history.
Mm.
That is very true.
So
still a successful model.
Yeah. Sure.
Even to this day.
Sure. You've got to be careful. You've got to give the cops some kind of, they've got
a high five.
We got to figure that part out, but otherwise I think it's got potential.
Well, yeah, but as I said, the threat of being disowned by my parents for bringing shame to the family.
You know what's worse than what's a whole lot better than bringing shame to the family? Bringing a couple of $100,000 home.
100%.
You watch the shame dissipate. All right. Yeah. No, but seriously, this is a terrific idea. I love what you guys are doing. I think it's amazing. When I first spoke to Murray about this years ago and he told me this idea, I thought it was genius, and I was upset that I hadn't come up with it first. But you've obviously got the brains trust that you need to be able to pull it off. And congratulations on all the places that you've already been and the places that you're still going.
Thank you.
You're going into the rest of Africa?
Yeah, yep, definitely
that's a
part of our growth strategy. And then long-term taking this, not even long-term, London, Detroit, and giving guys that were trading on street sides the ability to have international exposure.
Yeah.
It's a real, real long-term global thought.
Right. Yeah, because we want to put 50 of these up, but we want them all to talk to each other, So now suddenly Ink Foods or Swanky's Hair Salon that we mentioned, why not open up in the Detroit one or in the Kenya one or in the Botswana one and suddenly export these businesses?
If people want to get hold of you, what's the best way to contact?
Email probably at it's info@thebigboxco.co.za, or they can find us on Instagram or Twitter website.
Yeah, Twitter @thebigboxco. I must hook you up with Bulelani Balabala, who's with.
So the email's .com, not .co.za.
Okay, .com. Yeah. So I must tell Bulelani, he does a show here on cliffcentral.com, the Township Entrepreneurs Association. He's fantastic. He does these.
Perfect. We'd love to sit with them.
Almost weekly gatherings of amazing people. I've attended one in Tembisa, funnily enough, last year in September. And genius ideas coming out there.
That's brilliant. I mean, we'd love to sit with them, especially with us going into Mbisa. Let's put our brains together and see what we can do.
Gents, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
All the best to you.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. Thanks for
big
having us.
Box, and it's got nothing to do, the big box has got nothing at all to do with a woman with a large vagina, right? Nothing like that.
I know the Afrikaans version is the Groot Dwis, so
that's different.
That's a problem.
That's why you didn't go with Afrikaans.
No, we went with English. All right, great. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, guys. Very, very nice. All right, how's that, Mubs? Good idea,
like it.
Huh?
I like it a lot.
The hell's that? What's playing in the background there?
It sounded like ABBA.
Is it you? Okay. ABBA? Are you insane?
That's what I heard.
No. No such thing.
Okay.
All right, so there we go. We're meeting interesting people.
Indeed.
With great ideas. These are the people who will change the economy.
Yeah. Which
very,
is exactly
very cool.
What we need.
Thank you, Devin Skelelis and Justin LaRue. The Big Box Co. Ben has got a couple of interesting stories to tell us. Let's catch up with him quickly. Ben, what is this thing about Steve Irwin's son you were telling me earlier? Steve Irwin, the guy who used to be the Australian natural, what would you call him, a conservationist?
Well, he was the conservation kind of like
the crocodile hunter type thing crossed with conservationist.
He was the guy who just went and just jumped in there with all the animals.
And then he jumped in with some stingrays and got stung to death.
Yeah, well, there was a stingray who was very much against him, and then that's how he died. But he would hang out with crocodiles, poisonous snakes, kangaroos, Englishmen, like everything, really.
Very high-risk job, that.
But he's dead.
Yeah, so he's dead, but his son is following in his footsteps, so basically dressed in khaki all day and no fear towards any animals.
Well, it's a family business.
Yeah, so he then hung out with Jimmy Fallon recently and made him absolutely shit his pants with a giant snake.
So his name is Robert Irwin, Steve Irwin's son. Here he is. He's got a giant boa constrictor, and he brings it in. Now, poor old Jimmy Fallon, who's really, he's just mostly drunk. He really is.
He is.
Alcoholic. Yeah. So here he is on The Tonight Show. One of those rare windows where he's not so drunk that he's passed out.
Oh, you'll love it. It's
beautiful. Kind of like a giant. What is it?
Hey, lady. Here you go.
It's a giant snake.
Good job. She's actually, I think she's maybe constricting you a little bit. So
yeah, she is.
Good.
This is like, I can feel it squeezing.
This is the red tail boa.
She's trying to kill me.
They're amazing. No, you'll be fine. Okay. But they do have an interesting way of catching their prey.
Yeah.
They go in this S position, and then all of a sudden they strike and grab their prey, coil around it, and that's how they kill them.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that just fascinating?
He's just like his father.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, like, just lives for that whole animal thing.
How old is this kid?
13 now.
Yeah. Wow.
But isn't there a Bindi Irwin as well who does the same
thing?
She's
an 18-year-old daughter.
All right, but hang on. Haven't these people learned anything, these Irwins?
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. If your dad dies doing something that he loved, it's like you're going to follow in his footsteps, right? That's just how it works. Also, what else do you do in Australia if you don't play cricket?
Yeah, well, it's a good point.
Good point.
Right. Oh, look, I think
it's in the S position right now. I feel like that's the letter S if I know my alphabet well. He's squeezing my hand.
All right, how about this? Yeah. Okay, now he's squeezing me.
Okay,
right, good.
I don't want you or me getting squeezed.
Would it be terrible if this child died on The Tonight Show?
No, Gareth.
Come on, think about it. We all want nice things to happen in life. We don't want horrible things to happen, but wouldn't it be great for the ratings? I mean, because these late night guys are in such a war with each other.
Would they be able to air something like that?
I think it's
like a death.
They film it at 5 PM.
Yeah, because he's on live.
Oh, yeah. So they would edit it out. But there would be people in the crowd who would have seen it and would be traumatized. And you could always interview them afterwards. Okay, so you got Jimmy Fallon.
Mm-hmm.
He's on NBC, right? You got Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
He's on ABC. Then we've got Stephen Colbert, right? He's on CBS. You've got Conan O'Brien, who's on the internet, and he's doing really well. Who else is there? Trevor Noah.
The Daily Show.
Oh, Trevor Noah, right.
What about James Corden? Do you have
James
him there?
Thank you.
Yes.
James Corden. And isn't there there's a woman as well.
I'm seeing an
John Oliver,
like Blake Lively, or is she not? Doesn't she have a show? I don't know. Anyway, look, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least six of these guys. They're all competing at the same time for the audience. The way to win, I'm telling you now, is to let Robert Irwin be strangled by your boa constrictor and to broadcast it live.
Oh, no! Get away from me! Absolutely
That's all
not.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
Oh, my God. What a horrible-looking snake. And by the way, boa constrictors, you know what makes them even more freaky? We discovered this on the show a while ago. They give birth to live young. Live young. Those little snakes come out of the big snake. Mm-hmm. No eggs. Oh, yes. They just come shooting out of that snake vagina.
Ready to freaking like...
Ready to eat you.
Kill you.
There's also Bill Maher, one of your favorites.
Oh, see?
On HBO.
Right, so let me add him to the list here. Bill Maher.
Yeah, John Oliver as well.
Jesus. It just goes on.
Isn't that once a week or is he daily?
The point is, let's say you have, and remember, these shows are on at 11 o'clock at night. So I don't know what people maybe wake up late the next morning, but there may be 20 million people in America who are watching these shows every night. So you've got to divide that now by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, at least 8 people, 20 divided by 8. Let's get our calculators out here.
Oh, no.
No, I've got my calculator. 20 divided by 8. Hang on a second. 2.5. The best they can hope for is 2.5 million people. Now, there are YouTube accounts that get more hits than that in a day. So,
in a nutshell, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just find it surprising that these formats even still work.
Right.
Personally, it seems like such an old format.
Well, they all start like this. They've got the monologue in the beginning where they tell jokes about the day's news.
Yeah.
They go from that to their first guest.
And they're sitting behind a desk.
Right. They're sitting behind. They all sit behind a desk. And then the guest is there. And then the next guest comes in. And then eventually they've got three guests. And they're all sitting there and they have a chat.
And there's always a band.
Yeah, and then at the end, they stand up and they play a song. And then they're out of there. Every single one of them. There's no difference between the bunch of them. They do different features in the shows, but
it's just so old.
And this is the peak of television. These are the guys who get paid the most in TV, right?
I just don't understand. And they stay for years at a time.
Right.
Well, that's why I admire Chelsea Handler and what she's done.
She went on Netflix.
Netflix, yeah.
Good for her.
So she was being offered a late night show, and she goes, actually, no. So Netflix as well as a whole has been able to give her this, like, creative license. So she literally goes to Russia. She takes drugs.
Doing different stuff.
Yeah. You need to keep it fresh.
Da-da-da-da. Well, listen to this. This is from Elson. He says, I would like to send a happy birthday to my leader, Robert Mugabe, today. Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Elson phones us usually.
Yes, he does.
On the show.
Is that because he wants to go, so things aren't working out in Zambia, so he wants to come home now?
Well, Bob is still his leader, Ben. Why do you have to look for trouble here?
Yeah, sorry, it's my nature.
Come on. For heaven's sake. I mean, happy birthday to Bob.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. What is the story about North Korea with these female soldiers? They've got like a whole army of women.
Well, you remember in the Austin Power movies, they were the fembots, right?
Yeah.
So they were these robots that were meant to be beautiful women who would seduce people, and then they would just kill them.
Yes, the fembots.
So everything, this whole North Korea thing, North Korea is like one big James Bond movie in real life though, okay? Because it's not really a country, it's like a death cult concentration camp squad thing.
Sure.
So on the back of Kim Jong-un, Kim Jong-nam.
Which one are you talking about? The one who died?
Who was assassinated.
The one that went,
The current leader or the one who was just...
Who are you looking for, Ben?
Num. The guy who's no longer with us.
They killed him.
Yes. Right. The half-brother.
My ass is stuck.
The half-brother.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So he was accosted by two women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just for the lols, but actually, yeah, so he died. So now it turns out there's like a full-on female spy network within North Korea. Now, the whole thing about North Korea is you can't take every story too seriously, mostly because there's propaganda, there's all these false lies from the dear ruler. But then there's like things that kind of happen, and there's consistency around certain people just dying, right? So apparently, and you can't quote me on this, or you can, depending on how you like your news. There is a full-on army of these women who gets taken away from society.
They become basically like Jedis. They get taken away when they're young.
Yes.
And they get trained up.
Kind of known as the honey trap killers. They are an elite spy unit. So they get taken from all over North Korea, and they are given extensive training like all the other army people. So around 8 years, they are trained in all kinds of things. So they're based on as much as on their beauty as their physical prowesses. So they're not going to get like a boss-eyed, one-legged woman in here.
It's going to be hot.
Yeah, so they can go and assimilate into Western society as kind of attractive Asian women, right?
Okay.
Because you know people go, that whole sex industry out there, they can seduce anyone in that part of the world.
Sure.
And they are trained
in Western guys.
Yeah, so mental, physical strength. They're also trained in bomb making, martial arts, shooting, general spying, camouflage, and covert surveillance. So they can be released with all the skills possible to make such kills like in an airport.
So did this in the airport in Malaysia to Kim Jong-num.
So you got to think this Kim Jong-un, right? So he sits there. Again, this is also James Bond. He sits there with his various screens and then this aquarium with like great white sharks eating people who he wants eaten.
Right.
And then he calls upon this honey trap army, which I'm sure are run by some old German Hausfrau.
Definitely.
In leather pants.
Frau Verbissener.
Yeah. And she calls him to order, and then he goes, right, I've got this man in Kuala Lumpur. He must die. And she's like, yes, dear ruler.
Right.
And then she goes.
Correct.
And he says, you'll be wearing this on this mission. And then she's given, like, an outfit.
you remember Frau Verbissina from Austin Powers, right?
Austin Powers, yeah.
Which
was based on a character from Russia with Love, the second James Bond movie.
Okay. Well, just for those people who can't remember what Frau Verbissina sounds like, she just shouted at everybody. Very German.
Yeah.
Dr. Evil, I want you to meet your son.
My son?
Yeah. Scott! Bring in the fembots! The fembots! Send in the guns!
Begin the countdown.
5, 4
Get the countdown to 30.
30! 29! 27!
She just shouted at everyone.
25! 24!
So she was based on the character Rosa Klebb.
Okay.
Who had a knife in her shoe. So if you got into a fight with her, she would kick her heel and this dagger would come out and then she would kick you and then that would be the end of you. And she would test new recruits by punching them hard in the stomach.
Oh, that's great.
Ignition sequence.
Begin laser ignition!
Arm the laser.
She just shouts at everybody. Frau Verbissina.
I see, this is a remake I actually wouldn't suppose.
I haven't seen that in ages.
So imagine this is all happening in North Korea? Totally.
Yeah, for sure.
I actually don't think this is a far off idea. I won't even call it a theory because there's some sort of backing to it. I believe this.
Well, do you remember Team America? That movie where
Team America World Police.
When Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il, was still alive, they made a whole thing about him.
Mm.
He was the guy, he sang, "Ronri, I am so Ronri, I have nobody for my own." Ooh. Right?
Like, North Korea is actually really funny until it kills you.
North Korea is funny from the outside looking
from a distance.
In.
Yeah, from far, safe distance.
It's like Bob Mugabe. We just sit here and we joke about, oh, he's so old and everything else. There are a bunch of people in that country who don't know whether they're going to get food today.
Yeah.
So let's be nice about it.
But the ability to turn a country into a cult is quite something. I mean, that's on the sinister level, that's top of the pops.
That's the best. Then you know you're a proper villain. You're a real-time, real-life villain.
Where there's no hope for the citizens, none. No opposition to none. You.
Nothing.
People
Zero.
Are honest. Yeah. Yeah.
This is funny. This is it's probably made up, but it's called the Psychic Wars. Have you heard about this? It's where this one psychic phones into another psychic's show and reveals that he's a fraud. But they're both psychics.
So is the one who calls the other one out not a fraud?
Well, to me, they're both frauds because there's no such thing as a psychic. There is no such thing. So listen to this. You'll hear what I mean. And then you get a better idea of it. We can discuss it afterwards. Take notes, everybody.
I'm Rodman Delancey, and welcome to Psychic Wars. On today's episode, I'm confronting fraudulent psychics all across the airwaves.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in. It's the Astrology and Tarot Show.
First person that called in, let's see, I have 415. Is that San Francisco?
Yes, San Francisco. If you used your psychic abilities, you would have known that.
Are you serious?
I'm as serious as genital herpes.
Well, yeah. What's your first name?
If you were a real psychic, you would know my name.
So,
this is number one psychic, Rodman Delancey.
Rodman Delancey. I'm delighted to talk to a fellow psychic.
You, my friend, are a fraud psychic.
Excuse me?
I'll say it again. You, my friend, are a fraud.
Hey, listen, why don't you get your own show if you're so good?
I do have a show, and I challenge you to come on it.
Rodman, are you serious?
I'm as serious as diarrhea shizer porn.
You've been smoking something out there in San Francisco. I've never had anyone challenge.
Well, I am challenging you.
You know, I'm picking up too many things about people that are correct.
If you picked up on things, you won't have picked up on me.
You are not a psychic.
No,
you're
sir.
A fool.
Shiza. And here's a prediction. Your show will suck balls tonight.
Sir, you are a fool.
And I predict you will hang up on me now.
Which takes us to 303.
See? I'll tell you what, if he gets his own show, I'm not calling him.
So I think that person has a screw loose somewhere. Yeah, he's really got a screw loose. I'm a little bit rattled by that last experience, and I don't know if I can really do anything else for you right by this minute. And thank you one and all. Well, except for Rodman.
And stay till next week when I call this psychic fraud back for a psychic rematch.
How do you like that, huh? Wouldn't you like to see that, a psychic rematch? You have two idiots trying to prove that the other one is more wrong than them.
Well, you see, I believe in psychics.
You do?
So,
You do?
Absolutely.
Do you know who was a big psychic for a while? She ran the Psychic Network.
Who?
Dionne Warwick.
Really?
What?
Yes, she was big into that in a big way. She ran a whole thing. Let me see if I can find you something
here. What era are we talking about here?
The Psychic Friends Network from Dionne Warwick. This is in 1992.
Hi, you guys.
Listen to this. Promise you.
It's a paid commercial presentation of Information Incorporated.
Listen to this.
Today, you'll find out what Dionne Warwick has to say about the Psychic Friends Network.
I think that anyone watching this show can benefit from speaking to a psychic.
Meet Psychic to the Stars, Linda Georgian. Hear what one of our psychics had to say about daytime TV's hottest couple.
Is this going to be the end of our relationship? I mean, is this going to ultimately destroy our... I asked her.
You asked her that?
Yeah.
Meet other soap opera stars who called the
Psychic
Friends Network.
So this is then Dionne Warwick. This is her real. This was her business in the 1990s. She wasn't singing songs.
Okay, who would have thought?
And there's this woman called Miss Cleo. Have you heard of her?
Mm-mm. Hello, darlings. This is Miss Cleo coming to you live from our studio. And it is a very special infomercial. I'll be taking calls and giving psychic readings live on the air.
All right.
Oh, my goodness, would you look at that?
Miss Cleo is the real thing. She would do these psychic evaluations. I do think she eventually went to prison.
Oh.
Yes.
I was going to say, she sounds like someone I would go to.
Yeah. I think she eventually went to prison because she was lying to people and making stuff up, and she was exposed as a fraud, and she was taking money from people, too. She called a retirement home once. Listen to this.
Hello.
Hello, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Can I please have your first name only and your birth date, please?
What? Who is this?
Caller, I'm Miss Cleo.
Who? You who?
I'm Miss Cleo.
Cleo.
I don't mean to sidetrack your question here, but who are all of these nosy people, outside influences I'm seeing around you by the moon card?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you won't be asking me, darling.
Who is this?
I'm Cleo. I'm seeing some forgetting, possibly. And I'm seeing a new baby in the next 3 months.
Oh, my goodness.
I love when people cut up these things and then they call up unsuspecting people. It's hysterical.
Wow.
All right. It's just after 8 o'clock. We've got many things to still do, many people to meet. In fact, this morning, we're going to speak to someone called Koliswa Koba, who's the group communication manager for a company called EduSciMat. Now, you know, like with the the big box guys that we met earlier, mm-hmm. We want to talk to people who are doing interesting things in South Africa and who are making this country better. And EduSciMat is 5 years old. It's a maths and science innovation business that started in the Free State. They supply science labs, and they have helped increase the pass rate in maths and science in South Africa. Now, you know, I was involved with something like this for many years. We used to take cinemas that weren't being used on a Sunday with Prime Stars. We would fill it up with matric students, give them extra maths and science lessons, and the results were incredible. We are not a nation of stupid people. We may have a terrible education system. We may have a government of stupid people, but we are not a nation of stupid people. And when people have the opportunity to learn maths and science at a young age and learn to love it, it's amazing what they can do. The results are, they speak for themselves. Go and look it up. You could see with EduSciMat, you could see with what we did. At that time, it was called Educate with an 8 in it. It became... it came out under a different name later on, but it was all about maths and science. And lots of people have benefited from that and ended up doing degrees at university with maths and science in them. You know, those are the hard ones to get into. The only one among us I think would have got into that was Mabali.
Yep.
This is true.
You did. You did a BSc. Well, you almost finished your BSc.
Well, I did finish.
You did.
It.
That's right.
I
Dr. Molloy.
No, well, that's the problem. I didn't take it to the next level. You know, I just got the degree.
Right. Well, you know what? You're still smarter than the rest of us. But then, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed is king. I get carried away.
So the bar isn't really so tight.
All right. Yeah. There's so much I still want to do, and maybe we've got some time before we bring in our next guests. But in the meantime, let's get some music going, shall we? What do you feel like here? Some Babes Wodumo? Do you feel like some Calvin Harris? Do you feel like some Zed with Starving? Do you feel like a little Dr. Dre? Or do you feel like something else? And then I'll do a lucky dip.
I vote for Starving.
Okay, there it is.
Oh, am I the only vote?
You're the only one who gets to decide.
Thank you. Wow. CliffCentral.com.